Thank you for subscribing to The Fulcrum in the Void. Here we have the Chapter 2 interlude, Everyone Needs a Friend, performed by Stephen McDougall.
James Olivieri stood at the foot of Kiva's GRN-93 Grendel, looking up toward the cockpit. The machine resembled an old Earth gorilla, hunchbacked with two short back legs and long arms with articulated hands. To either side of the cockpit were retracted barrels of scatterguns and flame cannons. James had no idea what Kiva was doing inside the cockpit, or why it was taking so long. At this point, he was getting frustrated. The garage was deserted, save for the two of them.
Kiva, I've checked and rechecked everything. It's my job. Talk is fine, all fixed. You need to get some sleep.
He called up to the copper-headed man, who continued to ignore him. I need some sleep too, for that matter, he thought. The hell is he doing?
If you don't come down in a minute, I'm gonna go up there to get you, James warned him.
He knew Kiva's mental state was tenuous. It had only been 3 weeks since the horrific accident that had left Kiva broken and burned. Their insurrection's otherwise feeble attempt to retake Shinchar City had hit Cerberus hard. Kiva's golem, Torque, had been crushed and almost obliterated by an insurrection golem. Akiyo had arrived just in time to pull the enemy, Opal, off his Grendel. Then, Aki rushed down from his Grendel in the midst of active fire, seemingly to pull Kiva out of his smashed cockpit, but in an action witnessed by many and understood by none, Aki looked into the flaming cockpit, then backed away several paces. He turned, returned to his Grendel, and ran north out of Shinchar City. He had ignored all comm channels, and he had ignored his personal comm. Kiva was rescued at the last moment by the third team member of Team Cerberus, Diamanta Eglin, who grasped Kiva's body with her Grendel's hand and extricated him roughly through the cockpit, breaking bones in the process but preserving him from the consuming flames. Kiva had spent much of the past weeks in Kinemori City Central Hospital, recovering from smashed ribs, a shattered arm, and burns that ranged over his right arm, shoulder, neck, and face. James sighed and started up the ladder. He and Kiva had been bunkmates at Kinemori Military Academy and remained closer than friends thereafter. Not an uncommon type of arrangement in Dominion society. Despite the late hour, James had no intention of leaving Kiva to his own devices. James pulled himself up onto the shallow ledge in front of the cockpit and balanced himself with a handhold. He looked down at Kiva, who sat in the pit, on the padded control chair.
"What are you doing?" James asked.
Kiva didn't respond.
"Oh, Jesus, don't tell me."
James reached and grabbed Kiva by the collar, tugged him.
"You in there?"
James demanded. Kiva's episodes were known only to his closest friends. James sincerely hoped this was not one of them.
"Or stop it,"
Kiva grumbled and pushed James' hand away.
"Thank the gods of man," James exhaled. "Scared me."
"I'm fine,"
Kiva said, his voice cold. He clenched and unclenched his fist in the Grendel's control sleeve.
"That's a lie," James remarked.
He rested his hand on Kiva's shoulder.
"Come on, you need to sleep. Dawn will be here sooner than you think."
Kiva snorted.
"Like I'll be able to sleep?"
"You can at least relax," James said. "Really, come on, don't make me drag you."
That elicited a weak smile. James, a head shorter, couldn't haul Kiva's bulk anywhere.
"All right," Kiva sighed. "Get out of the way, then."
James squeezed Kiva's shoulder, then climbed down onto the Grendel's arm and down the last few steps to the concrete floor. Kiva followed, slowly. James turned to gather his jacket and bag from the middle of the garage. He heard Kiva's boots hit the floor. He looked back for a moment and saw Kiva holding himself up against the Grendel's arm, his head bowed. His pink burn scars were livid against the otherwise tattooed black arm and neck. I could kill Aki myself, James thought, a flicker of anger rising. Good thing I drive a pack mule. Don't think I could hold back if I had a combat machine. James picked up his things and met Kiva walking toward the garage exit.
Where is everybody? Kalayavus and them. The garage was full before I went up.
Kiva thumbed backward towards the lines of golems. They all left ages ago. You were in there for hours. I caught up with a damn dictionary waiting for you, James complained.
Huh. I wonder what I was doing, Kiva mused.
A few moments of silence. Then James spoke. Can I join you tonight? It's been a while.
I don't want to do anything. Kiva trailed off.
That's not all I am, James exclaimed, stopping in his tracks. Indignantly, he spat. You know that. Kiva glanced at James, saw in his green eyes that he was barely holding fury at bay. The last time Kiva had offended James, it hadn't ended well. Kiva's crooked nose still bore the result. Kiva ran his fingers through his copper hair. He grimaced.
I know. Sorry. You of all people deserve better from me, James,
Kiva said. An unusually selfless statement coming from him. James frowned, not sure how to take it. As though a switch flipped, Kiva suddenly relaxed.
Yeah, I'd like your company. Though I'm not much myself.
Kiva wrapped an arm round James's shoulders. James clapped him on the back.
It's all right. It's nothing new. You've always been an emotional cripple,
James snarked, his usually tame Western accent coming through strong. Kiva chuckled. They walked together into the night.